following is a special presentation of sports.kbec.com. Welcome to the Press Box with Brian Stevens and Seth Sims. The Press Box will focus primarily on Ellis County High School athletic programs. Be ready to call in at 972-923-1390 or 972-938-1390. Brought to you by Dr. Mark Rue and Dr. Josh McSpadden with Waxahachie Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the Stevens Team at Legacy Realty, and FBM Construction. And now, here's tonight's show.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Press Box. It is summertime. It is hot. And our show tonight is hot, Seth.
It is.
The hot lineup.
That's right. That's right. I guess we're going to go ahead and jump into the show lineup.
You know, I'm just ready to roll. I'm just excited.
Brian's like,
here.
He's itching. He's like, hey, man, can we get this rolling or what? Before we get there, I want to take a second to say hello to Yo-Yo Dave.
Yo-Yo!
Hey, guys. How y'all are?
Good, good. I got to say that it was a little weird at the Home Run Derby the other night. If you didn't know, we had the Ellis County Senior Home Run Derby sponsored by KBC, KBC Sports. And Yo-Yo was working the booth, as always, and I couldn't see him. Like, every Monday I come in here, I get to look through the mirror, and I get to see Yo-Yo Dave.
His beautiful face.
I'm through the looking glass on this side.
Okay. In the cup. So, but Yo-Yo, I'm glad you're here with us.
And we're like, Yo-Yo, what do you think about that home run? How was that one? And he was like,
He gave his opinion on a couple of them. Like, man, he really crushed that one. He played along.
You know, I'm still disappointed, though, because I did not get the pizza. So,
yeah.
Asked for it, begged for it. I was there for three hours and didn't see a slice.
I called all the pizza delivery places in town, and they all said, when I told them where y'all were, they said, where?
Right.
I said, Field 11. Come on, guys. Really? You don't know?
No, it's all good because I didn't end up winning a Cancun's dinner either. Yeah. But you ended up not having to pay for one. So,
yeah, right.
So that worked out. But speaking of Cancun dinners, because I was supposed to win it with Rock, but that's all right. We won't get there. We are actually going to have our champion from Thursday night, Gabe Vasquez Jr. He'll be joining us about 6:25. Before we get to him, though, we'll have Kiara Middleton on Midlothian Senior. She tore up her knee a little bit. Didn't get to play into district her junior year.
Right.
But Tulane still offered. She is committed, and we're going to have her on momentarily. And then Gabe Vasquez Jr. And to round out our guests, we will have Coach Joshua McGee, who is the
brand new coach.
Brand new.
Yeah.
Headed basketball coach for the Ferris Yellow Jackets. He was hired on a few weeks ago, and so we're going to get him on. Hopefully we're his first radio interview. Make him feel special.
I think he was on ESPN earlier today, so we're second, I think.
You know, guys, that's kind of funny. My father was a Yellow Jacket.
Oh, yeah?
From Cleburne, though, back in the day.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But there you go. Common bonds there.
I'm telling you, I like Yellow Jackets, except they scare me.
Yo, what's the temperature going to be tomorrow? Cold front coming through?
It's going to be hot.
Hot.
They're saying tomorrow the high is going to be around 98.
Yeah.
Probably heat index around 110 or so.
Right. Or the reason I ask is if you have any AC problems, and I heard you might have an AC problem. Yo, you stepped out in some water on the floor today.
Fortunately, the apartment complex came and fixed it today.
They didn't
pick up the water. I got to figure out what to do about that.
So. Well, guys, if your AC does go out, I want to point you to a great company here in the Ellis County area. Been here for 40 years. It's FBM Construction. They have a full-service licensed HVAC part of their company. And they'd love to come help you out if it turns hot in your house and you need it cool and quick. Don't call some Dallas company. It's going to take forever. They don't know Ellis County like FBM Construction does. So give them a call, 972-865-6732. Again, FBM Construction, their AC service is great. I actually used them a month ago. So call them at 972-865-6732.
And so we've got a couple questions of the day.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to them in a second. Again, we want to encourage everybody to call in. 972 972- 972-923-1390 or 972-938-1390. You'll hit one after you get Ken Roberts' lovely voice.
Yep.
You will talk to Yo-Yo Dave, and he will get you on. You can call in at any time. All right, if you hear one of our guests, you want to ask one of our guests a question, call in. Yo-Yo will probably screen the call a little bit. If he sits there and goes, I don't know about this, he'll give us a thumbs up, thumbs down. But we are going to encourage you to call in.
I have that kind of power?
You do.
You man, do.
We don't want to be talking to a guest and someone call and want to go on a tangent about something completely different. Well, we want to keep it focused.
I didn't know I had that kind of power. Goodness gracious.
With great power comes great responsibility.
No, and I hate both of them.
But anyway, these are our questions of the day.
I can't wait for this first question, by
one,
the way.
Is fun, and we hope this gets some people going. Today is National French Fry Day, all right? And before we get on the subject of which French fry you like the best, all right? That's the first question. I'm gonna get these other two.
Okay.
We'll cover them later in the show.
All right.
So question number two is, do you think the Rangers pitching staff, with the addition of Corey Kluber to go along with opening midsummer starter Lance Lynn and Mike Minor, do you think their staff helps or hurts the Rangers on a shortened 60-game season? And then also, we kind of, as a sidebar, we were thinking about it, talking about it. We want to hear from you. Home runs. How many home runs do you think will lead Major League Baseball in 60 games? We're going to put a pause on those two. We'll talk about them at the end of the show. Circling back now, French Friday.
I love it.
If you had to choose a spot or a type of French fry, Brian,
yes,
what are you going with?
I'm going with, okay, this is not going to make sense, but my favorite hamburger place is Whataburger.
Mm-hmm.
My least favorite hamburger place is McDonald's.
Okay.
But McDonald's has the better fries.
Mm-hmm.
The best fries.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten it in probably, gosh, 5 or 6 years.
Do you go to Whataburger and then pull in? I've never done it.
No.
I'm with you on the McDonald's fries are better than Whataburger fries. But do you go to Whataburger and then shoot over to McDonald's?
Never done it, but now you've given me an idea. Maybe on the way home.
See, the problem with Waxahachie is it's got the medians in the middle.
Exactly.
And so it's like, if you're going
medians
home to
don't
the
get
north,
me started about those medians.
Sorry, getting off subject.
All right.
So I'm going to go with, actually, one, Snuffers. This should be a plug for all these places, but Snuffers fries, if you've never had them, Snuffer fries are great, especially loaded.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go with the waffle fry from Chick-fil-A, I think is underrated.
Yeah.
If you count it.
No, I count that.
Do you count it?
I count that. What about, let's go sports related, what about the French fries with cheese on it inside the baseball helmet?
No, because they get too soggy.
No, not if you eat them fast enough.
You're eating them
too slow.
Nah, they're already kind of mushy to begin with. I like a little crunch to my fry.
But it's greatness.
That's what makes McDonald's fries so good, is they
have
that crunch.
That's what we were talking about.
But you know what? Are steak fries in the mix there? Because those big kind of wedgy steak fries that you get.
Yeah, my mom can count the waffle fry from Chick-fil-A, you can count the steak.
Well, my mom used to make the steak fries and put a little onion in there, and she would cook them until they were just, I mean, really crispy. And had that good flavor, put a little ketchup on them, and oh my gosh.
Man, I'm hungry now.
I think steak fries count.
Yeah, they do. Well, guys, we want to hear from you. Again, we base this show on being a community show. This is not just us talking. This is about you guys giving us feedback. So those questions of the day, we'd love to hear answers from you. Give us a call, 972-938-1390, press 1. We want to hear from you.
And we've got our first interview coming up, but before we get there, it's going to be brought to you by Waxahachie Orthopedics and Sports Medicine doctors Mark Rue and Josh McSpadden. They are your preferred location for all orthopedic services, including robotic joint replacement, sports medicine, and fracture care. Doctors Mark Rue and Josh McSpadden are offering robotic surgical services for increased precision and longevity and performance of joint replacement implants. Give them a call, 972-923-9999. Again, 972-923-9999. So we want to welcome in our first guest of the evening, Midlothian Senior, Miss Kiara Middleton. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. We appreciate you taking the time to join us and to kind of kick off the interview, maybe loosen up a little bit. It's National French Fry Day, so I want to ask, if you eat French fries, what's your favorite go-to?
McDonald's all the way.
Yes.
That seems pretty, like, there's a reoccurrence on the McDonald's fries.
They're the best.
They are.
I have a late entry, though. I like to get the Frosty from Wendy's and the French fries and dip them in the Frosty. You ever done that?
I do the same thing.
Isn't that good?
Oh, my gosh. You have not lived if you haven't done that.
Kiara, have you done it? Are you a dipper into the Frosty?
I've tried it one time.
I have to say, I did it once, and it was all right.
Really?
It was
really?
Nothing. So, Kiara, we want to thank you again for joining with us, and want to ask you some questions. I know you're committed to Tulane, correct?
Yes.
Well, let's start there. What brought about the commitment to Tulane, the excitement? What was it about the program that really had you hooked on to wanting to go play basketball there?
So I recently tore my ACL during my junior season. A lot of schools backed off of me recruiting-wise, but Tulane and another school, UALR, they always kept recruiting me. And, you know, they'd always tell me knee injuries, they're pretty common, so they weren't scared of that or anything, so they kept recruiting me. And it just really showed, like, they really wanted me because an ACL is a pretty big injury. And I started researching more about it. They're a really great academic school. I really connected with the coach because she herself went through a big injury. So then eventually I got my first offer, and then they're like, would you like to verbally commit? And I feel as Tulane is probably, it was the highest ranking school that was recruiting me, so I was like, might as well commit.
Well, that is awesome. With everything going on, have you had a chance to visit the campus and meet the coach in person, or has it been done virtually? How's that gone?
It's been virtually. So we did a home visit, I guess, through Zoom call, so I got to speak to them face to face, but I have not visited the campus yet.
When are you expected? Is there a target date that they're going to be opening up and you're actually going to head there pretty soon, or how's that look?
That just whenever they tell me, I know Louisiana, they aren't as open as Texas, so it might take a little bit, but as soon as they open back up, I'm pretty sure I'll be taking a visit down there.
I know everybody's kind of stuck in limbo right now, but mm-hmm. So you spoke about your ACL injury, and that was one of our points of focus that we wanted to ask you about. So you start your junior season, you're on a roll. You're averaging, I think, when I looked, like 24 points a game. Mm-hmm. And then you know, tragedy strikes. You get hurt and you miss the rest of your junior season. Looking back, and we'll get into the recovery process in a second, but what mentally and emotionally were you going through when that injury happened, especially when you know, looking ahead, you were looking at a big year. The Panthers, you know, y'all made a playoff run as it was, and y'all were looking to do big things. What was your mindset like once that happened, and how'd you get through it and stay focused and encouraging to your teammates?
I was crushed. The first couple of months, I did not want to look at a basketball. I didn't really want to leave the house. I was just really sad because I'd been playing basketball for so long, and then boom. And then I feel like when you do something for so long, it becomes a part of you. So I was just like, who am I? But, you know, my sister tore her ACL. When she was in college. So she was there for me a lot, gave me a lot of advice emotionally. She knew what I was going through. Every time my knee hurt, she knew what I was talking about. So somebody understood me. She knew how sad I was and everything. But through all that, I know my teammates were so supportive of me. They always tried to make me laugh and everything. So I got through it slowly, and you know, I prayed every night, and slowly but surely, but it was a long process. Some days were better than others. I'd be really sad one day and then okay the next, and then repeat, but I made it through. Still got a long way to go, but yeah, that's what really happened.
Well, I can definitely understand that devastation and how you felt through all that. Now that you're coming out of it, and there's, you know, the lights at the end of the tunnel, and you see a little bit glimpse of hope in the future. Looking back, what did you learn during that process, and how can it help you in your future career and just in life in general?
I've learned that no matter how good you are at something, like when tragedy strikes, it strikes, and there's really nothing you can do to prevent it. So besides embracing it and kind of persevering through it, it's really hard. It gets really hard at times, actually. And it's really taught me how to be strong, especially when I'm really devastated. And I think that would really help in life lessons, because life often has times of throwing you tragedy. So I really learned a lot.
We're speaking with the Midlothian Panthers senior basketball star, Ms. Kiara Middleton, a Tulane commit. Now, I want to ask you, Kiara, what has the rehab process been like, especially now you're getting into the summer, but with things shut down and kind of if you're working out, you're kind of going to have to do it on your own or in small groups. What was the rehab process like? And up to this point, how difficult has it been to try to get that knee back to a full functioning capability?
It's extremely hard, physically, mentally, and emotionally. I started rehab the day after I had surgery. Immediately had to put weight on it. It was extremely painful. My knee is really stiff, so it's hard for it to get straight. So that added on to the pain. So I've had to work a little bit harder than normal. But I have a really good physical therapist. His name is Nick Dobson. He works at TMI Sports Medicine. He knows everything about my knee, and we've been progressing really well. I've had a lot of setbacks. That's what made it hard mentally and emotionally. I can't tell you how many times I'd be crying outside of my physical therapy place, or mad, or even happy. It's just a roller coaster of emotions. But now I'm doing really good. I'm starting to feel more like an athlete, better like workouts and running. Throughout this whole COVID pandemic, my therapy place had never closed, so I've always had a place to go to work out. So I've been getting better and stronger.
Well, let me ask you this. What was the initial diagnosis and you had your surgery? What timetable did the doctors give you to where you could start doing activities back on the court?
So my parents told my doctor we're not in a rush. So originally he told us you can be cleared at 6 to 8 months. And my parents told him, you know, we're not in a rush. So then he finally broke it down and said, for a female athlete, the real recovery rate is 9 to 12 months. So my dad wanting to be on the safe side, said, you know, we're going to try and wait closer to 12 months to make sure I'm fully ready. And my doctor promised us if we waited that long, he'll get me back to where I was. So now we're just waiting.
Awesome, Kiara. I wanted to ask you about this sport, the sport that you love and the passion you have for it. I know it's very important to your family as your dad being a coach, and you mentioned also your sister playing. And you mentioned also growing up playing it, and that was, you know, part of your life. It's ingrained into who you are. So speak a little bit about this game that you love so much and how it's helped you and how it's going to shape your future.
Basketball is definitely hard. It's extremely hard. There's been days where I said I wanted to quit. I didn't want to play anymore, but I kept playing. So it's kind of taught me how to – whenever things don't go my way, I'm a perfectionist. It's taught me how to deal with it and keep going. Playing basketball, I've encountered many nerve-wracking situations, like whether it's a game-winning free throw or, you know, you have to get the last shot up before the clock ends. So I've definitely dealt with, like, life skills in basketball. It definitely teaches you a lot. So,
well, Kiara, I want to ask you We're going to send positive vibes, and we're going to assume that everything gets back on schedule after all this weirdness that's going on in the world. And high school basketball gets played on time. It's a regular season. You're back with the Panthers. Your ladies made a playoff run, a push last year. Got some young girls, some experience. In your opinion, as a senior, going to be one of the leaders on the team, what's the outlook look like for the Midlothian Lady Panthers for the 2020-2021 basketball season?
District champs and state championship.
I love it.
Most definitely. I think everyone has grown. It was really amazing to see people expand their roles, and so now I really believe that we are one of the top teams in DFW.
Awesome, Kiara. We appreciate you coming on and sharing just your story. That's why we love sports, because sports is so much more than what happens on the court or on the field. It's experiences like that you've had, and experiences that you can take hold and learn from and grow from. And it sounds like to me, you're a very mature young woman, and you have great things ahead of you. And we wish you, again, all the best luck on the getting back on the court. And we wish you well, and we can't wait to talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
And there she goes, Miss Kiara Middleton. Again, Midlothian's Lady Panthers. Breakout star. I say breakout star. She had over, I think, 1,000 points in the season.
Outstanding.
Was it her sophomore year? She was averaging 24 points a game last year. So just think, if the Midlothian Panthers would have had her, what could have been? But we maybe we'll get to see it. I hate saying maybe, like we don't know what's going to happen.
Let's be positive. We will get to see it.
We will get to see it before she heads off to Tulane University. So thank you again, Kiara, for joining us. We've got our next guest on the line, but before we before we get there though,
yes,
I want to ask you, Brian.
Yes.
Is the Stevens team doing anything lately?
Oh my goodness, guys. As hot as it is outside, the market is hot, and I keep saying that, but we put a couple houses on the market this past we put three on the market this past week, and every single one of them had multiple offers, and it was insane. The showings were up. The market's hot. We've had a lot of people calling us. We are working day and night, and we're loving it because we truly love what we do. And if you've been out there thinking about maybe buying a house, maybe selling it, and just talking and just dreaming, that's fine. We love to dream with you. So give us a call. The Stevens team would love to start the process. Again, you don't have to be ready to buy a house tomorrow. We can slow play it, walk through with you. So give me a call. My number is 214-463-9555. Again, 214-463-9555. And we'd love to talk to you about it. So, again, guys, if you've been out there, we love to just reach out to you. This is a community radio show. Call in to our station. And, again, the questions of the day is National French Fry Day. What is your favorite French fry? Also, talk about the home run, the baseball a little bit. So, who will have the most home runs in 60 games? A shortened season. Finally, we're going to see some type of sports on TV, and I cannot wait for that. The Rangers are going to kick off, and also the Mavs are right down around the corner, too. So if you want to talk about sports, call us at 972-938-1390, and we'll talk about it. Interesting fact that I heard today, guys. I'm not sure if you heard, but the Rangers, so the governor put out a statement saying that if the outdoor facilities, you can have fans up to 25%. But indoor facilities, no fans. And so an idea the Rangers are kicking around is actually this big fancy stadium they built, Seth, of the AC and the roof, is if they want fans, then they have to open the roof and have no AC.
So virtually,
yeah,
we're playing in an outdoor ballpark again.
We are. That's if awesome. They want fans.
Have you seen all the memes and GIFs or whatever you call
them?
Yes. Of how everybody said it looks like a grill top or a glorified Home Depot warehouse?
Yes.
I said it looked like it was very Texan because it looked like a barn dominium.
It does.
But the inside is state of the art.
It is. Yeah. But it's going to be very ironic if they spent all this money on the stadium for AC in the first year.
They had to leave the roof open.
Not use the AC. I can tell you one thing. I'm not going to the ballpark if it's 110 degrees.
Oh, yeah, you will.
Okay, yeah, I will. You will. Those French fries in the hat would get me.
What you got?
Heck yeah. Hey, so you mean we have the Death Star and the barbecue grill right next door to each other?
Right next to each
other. Oh, my goodness gracious.
The deadly combination.
So we're going to take this time. As y'all know, last Thursday evening, the KBEC and KBC Sports put on a home run derby for the seniors of Ellis County.
It was outstanding, by the way.
And so it was at the sports complex. We had 15 participants. It was wild. It came down to basically the wire with the last hitter being one home run down with like 30
seconds
left.
We couldn't have drawn up any better.
And so it was exciting. But we did have a winner.
We did.
And that winner is joining us right now.
The man. The
it
myth.
Is.
The legend.
Gabe Vasquez Jr. from Midlothian Heritage. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for taking some time to join us as we get that round of applause.
The champion.
Yo-Yo
the champ.
Dave. So
I couldn't get the crowd organized fast enough.
That's all right.
But before we get talking about the Home Run Derby, we've been posting this question to our listeners, and we did it with Kiera, our first guest. So we want to ask you, it's National French Fry Day. Mm. If you had to go pick up some French fries, where are you going?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd probably go to Five Guys.
Five Guys. Oh, that's nice. An answer we haven't had. That's awesome.
They have the actual potatoes they just put right through there, like in a cutter. It goes right to the fryer, right? Am I thinking the right place?
Yes. Yeah. Awesome.
Yep. Well, awesome. Well, we appreciate you.
Wait.
Uh-oh.
He is the home run champ, so we have a second question. Let's ask him.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, Gabe. Our question 1B is, with a shortened Major League season, there's only 60 games this year, or we hope, 60 games. Who do you think, or not who, I'll just go with the number because that could be a long conversation. What will be the number that is reigning champ for home runs? What, in 60 games, what do you think that number is going to be?
I'd say probably about in the 30s.
Whoa.
Oh, you think 30s?
Man.
I like it. That's ambitious.
It is.
You never know. MLB may juice the balls hard this
just
year.
Get the ratings up. Yeah, I like it. So, well, those balls looked juice this past Thursday, Gabe. Walk us through that. First of all, going to that event, what did you expect the event to be like? Honestly, let us know what your expectations were, and then how was reality?
Well, my expectations were like everyone was going to hit bombs, and it's going to be a tough competition, you know? But I went in there, and it ended up, like, I was stuck with everybody. It wasn't too hard, except for how tiring it was.
Well, that's kind of the response we got. We talked to a couple other guys at the event. We didn't get to talk to you as we ran out of time when the event ended. But that seemed to be the consensus that everybody was taking hacks as quick as they could, and after about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, it was kind of like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done.
You can just see
it. Did you feel the fatigue?
Oh, for sure. Every round was horrible. The second half.
Well, let me ask you this. I know we talked to a couple of kids, and they said they didn't change their approach. They were keeping their swings the same. Once the tiredness set in and you got to later rounds, because we were sitting on a shortened field, it was 300 in the corner, 311 to center. Did you kind of change anything once you got towards that championship round? Were you looking more pool happy, or did you pretty much stay the same throughout?
I was definitely more pool happy. I was trying to get the easiest home runs. So, yeah. And I was dipping a lot more when it came to the end.
Gabe, walk us through the prep on this. And so I'm sure you hit the cage a little bit. But are you playing select ball? Had you swung a bat in a while? Were you prepping for this event? And so how did that happen?
Well, I've been playing summer ball. And as it happened, I was coming back from a game, and I barely made it to the home run derby.
Awesome. So you were playing that day.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
See, so you were already loose.
Yeah. Did that help? Yeah, that's a good question, though. Did that help or hurt? Do you think you were loose and you were, you know, zoned in? Or did that make you just a little more tired? You probably could have hit more bombs.
I think it helped me. I think I was more loose when I got there. I was ready to go.
Well, let me ask you, who threw BP to you?
My buddy's old coach, Rook.
Well, let me ask you, how important is BP in a home run derby? Because I watched, no offense to a couple guys that were out there, but there were some very sketchy BP throws, and I feel like it really hurt the players. How important is that BP to making sure that you hit as many as you can?
I mean, it's huge. It all starts there. They got to put it where you like it almost every time.
Yeah, I think
you have the best advantage.
I think I saw one guy who was throwing nothing but curves over there, and it was kind of, you know, buckling
balls.
See, yeah. He was trying to get signed, and so he was up there throwing curves like he was trying to strike people out. Yeah. But so you had a teammate in it, in Rock Martinez, and through that first round, he hit 17 and led it. And then, you know, I think he only had to hit like 9 or something the second round to move on. But he decided to go out there and beat that record, which
right.
he did.
Yep.
And then he kind of fell off in the championship round. Kind of talk about Rock's approach and what was it like to be out there and compete with that guy? I know you competed with him at Heritage on the field, but to kind of end your senior season out there together.
Oh, it was awesome. I love Rock. He's a huge friend of mine. I went out there and just wanted to beat him. I didn't really care if I won the whole thing. I wanted to beat him.
Nice.
A little friendly competition.
I love it, love it.
Did you poke him in the side a little bit afterwards? Like, hey, man, what happened?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You're never going to let him leave that down, are you?
Oh, yeah. I talk to him about it every day.
There you go. And for every day after this, right?
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
Well, Gabe, I want to ask you, do you plan to play ball some more after – in college somewhere? If so, where is that going to be? If not, what are your plans?
Well, currently I'm trying to pick up an offer still. I do want to play ball in college.
Are you?
That's the plan right now.
Are you looking the junior college route, or are you just kind of fielding offers? Whatever comes in, you'll think about taking it?
Whatever comes in, I'll think about taking it. I don't have anything right now, so I'm still playing.
Is distance or is travel, do you take that into consideration when you make your choice, or is it kind of like, man, baseball is what I want to do, I'm gonna take every advantage I get?
Well, I'd like to stay in Texas, but if not, it's no big deal.
And so
I'll go where they offer me.
Well, Gabe, we appreciate you jumping on with us, and we want to say congratulations on being the first ever KBC Seniors Home Run Derby, and we want to thank you for coming and talk to us. But is there anything else that you would like to say in regards to home run? I guess my question though needs to be, is there anything we can do to improve it?
Oh, there you go, some helpful feedback.
Maybe some more breaks during rounds would definitely help.
So kind of extending the time limit of the event, but giving some more timeouts during each round.
Yes.
Okay.
That would be great. You'd see so many more home runs.
He probably would have hit 30 in that last round then, right?
Probably.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, Gabe, we thank you again, sir. We wish you the best of luck, and I know you'll find a spot to play. If there's anything we can do to help, let us know, and hopefully we can get you on again when you're wearing a college cap so we can talk about your college career. But thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You have a good night. There he goes, Gabe Vasquez, the first annual, hopefully many, many more to come, Ellis County KBC Sports Home Run Champion.
And he, so for those that weren't there or didn't tune in, when we got to the finals, we had three.
Yep.
It was Aaron Tessay of Waxahachie, it was Rock Martinez from Heritage, and of course it was Gabe from Heritage as well. Gabe went first.
He did.
And he hit 16. And then Rock, I believe, came behind him. What was it, 9-10? I don't want to sell him short, but didn't quite get there.
Yeah.
And then, like we said, Aaron Tessay came up, hit 15, and had 32 seconds left or something like that, and just couldn't squeak that last one out. But I agree with Gabe on the time issue, because those guys were beat. But maybe that's the factor. Maybe that's part of it. It was hot.
Yeah, it is part of it. It's part of it.
And so, but maybe we take that time. We need to pass that up the food chain.
Way above our pay grade. But it was an awesome event. It was outstanding. We had a good crowd there, and we socially distanced. Just let me know. We were far apart, but we had a good crowd for that social distancing that happened. But as you could just see in that event, while it was a great draw, that people, how hungry they are for just live sports. And it kind of filled my bucket for a second there.
They were. And it was hot out there, and it's staying hot out. So how hot is it, Yo-Yo?
Right now, it is. Let me get you there. I was just saying that I did my part in social distancing.
You did. You know what made it better?
I was wearing my mask while I was in here.
Here's one suggestion for next year. Whoever planned this event is if we can have some pizza there.
Yeah, pizza.
Then that would make
just
it.
Just not letting that pizza
amazing.
Go.
Amazing.
Right now, it's 98 degrees with a heat index of 108 degrees.
Nice. 108 on the heat index.
Well, Brian. Hey, it's Texas. Live with it. If you don't like it, move up north. Get out of here.
Before we get to our next guest, though, is there anybody that could help us out if we've got issues with this heat at home?
What do you mean?
Like FBM Construction.
Oh, I see what you're doing here.
Yeah, okay, a little segue.
Yes.
That's called a segue.
If you did not catch earlier, if it is hot, because it is 108 degrees outside, or it feels like it, and it's too hot in your house, you need some AC, you need a cool air, call FBM Construction. They have licensed HVAC technicians ready to go. Call them at 972-865-6732. Again, FBM Construction, 972-865-6732.
Far out, groovy, and right on.
That's what I'm talking about, yo-yo. And now we get to our third guest of the evening. We're going to welcome in the new head coach of the Ferris Yellow Jackets, Joshua McGee. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on, guys.
No problem. We appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. Again, congratulations. This is your first head coaching gig, correct?
Actually, it's my second.
Your second? Where was your first one at?
In Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay, so you're back down in Texas, and you've been an assistant at Midlothian, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Well, now that you've got your first head coaching job, or second head coaching job, first in the state of Texas.
Seth's such a big Texas guy.
First in Texas.
Yeah, first in Texas. Seth loves Texas so much, he says sports don't exist outside of Texas, so I apologize.
They got sports?
My question to you is, with everything that's going on, you've got the job at Ferris. Have you had an opportunity, had a chance to meet these kids?
Yes, today was actually my first day where I got to meet some kids and do some sports-specific skills training, so it was wonderful. I've been dying to get in the gym and meet some kids.
Now, was it the high school kids, or have you been able to put on a camp for the younger kids, or what was it?
It was for the high school kids, summer pride, so I haven't been quite ready to kind of get down on the ground and put camp together and meet all the kids, but I was able to meet some high school kids and work them out today.
Awesome. Well, going into Ferris, and we had the ex-coach on a couple times last year, so we were kind of up to speed with Ferris just a little bit, but they were having a good season off the bat. They ended up 23-11, but had some bugaboos through district, ended up 3-7. Now that you're taking over this program, what are some bright spots about your Ferris varsity team? I mean, maybe what are some things that you need to kind of rub out to fix in order to help improve this program?
Like you said, the first thing I saw was the job. They won 23 basketball games, and winning isn't an easy feat. So kudos to the former coach and the work the boys put in. I've been watching a lot of film since I've been on the Ferris Huddle, and one of the things I was seeing as a positive is everyone's returning besides one. I think it was Matthew Nunez.
That's huge.
So with that experience and all those kids coming back, I think just more time and preparation for district. I got to see a lot of their district games. This is a really good district. Alvarado had a good year. Waukaki Lies and Midlothian Heritage, Hillsboro edged them out. So I think with the experience they have from last year and taking some of the experiences I had from Midlothian of organizing, breaking down film, and preparing for district, I think we'll be right in the mix this year.
Well, Coach, I want to ask you, it seems like, unfortunately, a lot of these questions and a lot of every conversation is surrounded by what's going on in the world with COVID and everything.
Yeah.
So how has this set you back with, you know, being a new coach? And like you said, today was only the first day that you've met them and practicing and the camps, things like that. How has that set you back? But also, let's go on the positive side. Maybe how can this help you as a program to maybe not be on the court, but like you mentioned, watching film maybe more and dissecting the game and dissecting the program. So can it maybe also help you?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, it's tough because you want to get in the gym. You want to have kids opportunity to play. You want to have open gyms. unfortunately, just the way things are going right now, you got to have patience, and that's the kind of the way I've looked at it, is reflecting on film, you're absolutely correct, and just watching them and really tailoring practice plans to what the kids need and focus more on growth. Take the time and say, what can I do to make them better with the time that we have, and value it.
Well, Coach, I want to kind of ask you, from your opinion and through your experiences, what part of high school basketball, and it doesn't even have to be high school basketball, basketball in general, what is one area that you think that needs to be focused on that maybe out of your repertoire that's going to be kind of the thing that you teach your guys that they stick to the most, and maybe that it's an area in the game that's being kind of ignored or not focused on as much? Do you have something like that you really want to harp down with your guys that can help improve not just Ferris but any team that you coach with?
Just some of the intangibles of the game to kind of get lost in the shuffle. Kids get to playing so much basketball. There's nothing wrong with that, but a lot of technique gets overlooked. You know, how to playing hard, playing aggressive is one thing, but how to properly close out, how to properly cut your man off, how to get yourself open without the basketball, some of the finer points in the game. It's great being an athlete and being athletic, but sometimes you got to be able to know how to play within the game.
Coach McGee, of course, we're not familiar with your style of play and your program, so for those who are, you know, listening to you for the first time and getting acquainted, what does a Coach McGee basketball program look like? Do you have are you up and down the court? Are you more slow it down half court? What's your bread and butter? Or do you cater that around to maybe the athletes you have? Or a mix of both?
I'm pretty flexible for the most part. I can't get the cheese-eating grin off my face because I'm thinking of that first year in Midlothian. Our Coach McGee coach program is going to have a lot of energy.
Love it.
We're going to get up and down. I work hard. I'm not a yeller or screamer. I'm just really engaged in the game. So I was telling the kids that, hey, you have to match my energy. I'll sweat out of my clothes for practice, so I expect you to sweat out of your jersey. A lot of tough, hard-nosed defense. A lot of communication, a lot of kids playing together, selling out for each other. Offensively, our defense is going to be our offense in a lot of ways. It's going to create a lot of easy points in transition. If we ever do get slowed down, I'm really methodical on how to create opportunity for my personnel. So whether I have post players, whether I have really good guards and wings, I've been able to adjust over the years and do what's best for the players on the court.
We're talking with Coach Joshua McGee, the new Ferris head men's basketball coach. I want to go to your coaching days at Midlothian, and you're under Coach Middleton over there. And what was it like being able to coach under somebody with that experience, with that pedigree? What are some of the things you learned? And maybe if you want to throw them out, what are some things that you kind of learned what not to do? But what was it like coaching under Coach Middleton?
It was a great experience. He has Oklahoma ties as well as I do. He spent about 6 years at Oklahoma State University as an assistant coach for Travis Ford. And during that time, we never really crossed paths, but we had a lot of mutual friends, a lot of mutual circles. And it was quite interesting. It was a gentleman from a scouting service, and at the time, an assistant coach at Texas A&M that kind of paired us together when I was looking to cross the river. And we hit it off, we met, and the rest was history. One of the great benefits of working with Coach Middleton, it reinforced this thing that you do as a coach when you see another coach do them. It kind of reinforced it through time and details of this program, the attention he gives to his players and teaching them, preparing them for games. It was really refreshing working with a coach that had that same vision, that same approach towards basketball. So it was great. It was a perfect marriage.
Well, Coach, we know you moved from Midlothian over to Ferris, staying in the same county. Was that a priority for you to stay in this area, maybe because you love it so much, or were you, you know, open to taking, you know, a coaching job anywhere, or not anywhere, but, you know, stay within the area? But how important was it to you to stay in the county, and why?
I knew eventually I wanted to get on my own 2 feet, and being in Ellis County was awesome, and it was truly, truly a blessing. He's getting a little older. I'm not an old man, but I'm in the middle now, so my family's very, very important to me. And from the Midlothian Youth Basketball League just my general shopping around town, and we've gotten comfortable. I bought my first home in Ellis County, so Bear's created an ideal situation where I'm still in Ellis County, when my family still has those norms where we can have a high level of high standard of basketball in my professional life, and my family can enjoy their personal life without much change.
Well, Coach McGee, I want to ask you, and this kind of goes back to what Brian asked earlier in the conversation, kind of along the lines of COVID, and you may not know yet, but when you're looking at your roster and you're looking at the kids that you had and maybe the kids coming up, is it on the back of your mind of if one of your kids comes down with it and he has to miss, who knows what the rules are when we get to basketball season? But as you prep, is it kind of something in your mind that, hey, I might need to expand my varsity roster? Do I need to get some of those JV guys or freshman guys some, a little bit of experience in case something happens? Is that kind of something you're dealing with as a coach as you prepare for this next year?
To be honest, I haven't really thought about expanding a roster size. I know that junior varsity and varsity practicing together would be very integral. Just so I have kids waiting and ready in the case they need to get pulled up. But that's a great question. That's kind of uncharted waters when it comes to expanding the numbers on a varsity team or JV team. Because I don't want to put kids in a position where they're not playing as much when they can be playing more on JV or varsity. So I kind of approach that when I get to it.
Well, Coach, to kind of round out the conversation, we're doing these positive vibes with our guests, especially moving forward to this next season. So everything goes on as scheduled. You know, you're talking to your guys. What's the expectations for Ferris basketball for this next season?
Because of the situation we're in the world, and we're all getting through this pandemic together, I'm really going to press grit and resolve to them. And having those type of values, because they're being tested in society every day. You know, we have to prepare every day. We have to make sure that we find ways to resolve our issues and our problems. We just can't stop. So regardless, we have to take one game at a time, one practice at a time, and really show our measure by getting through these tough times together and making the best out of them.
But Coach, it sounds like you know your stuff and you have some really in-depth answers. And so this is going to be a hard-hitting question. These were all softballs until this one, so just get ready. But today is National French Fry Day. And so we need to know from you, what are the best French fries? Where do I need to go tonight?
I don't want to lose fans.
Come on.
Now, are we talking about like a restaurant, fast food, or
anything you
fry?
Want? The world is yours.
What are we talking about?
Whatever you want. We talked about steak fries. We talked about Chick-fil-A fries. I mean, we covered them all.
When it comes to just a fast food restaurant, I've always liked Burger King fries. I don't know why.
Wow.
I don't know what I haven't battered differently or what the deal is.
Okay.
I like the Red Robin. Now you make me crave Red Robin.
Yeah. Those are good bottomless
fries. Steak fries, the seasoning on them. Those are money right there.
Yeah, that seasoning is awesome.
See, you made
I'm also a fan of fresh Arby's fries.
Arby's are
fresh,
good.
Though. Those curly fries aren't fresh. That's bad business.
Curly fries count. See, you made me nervous when you said I don't want to lose any fans. I thought you were about to say In-N-Out fries, and I was gonna say, hold on.
No comment on those fries. I love the burgers, but no comment on those fries.
I agree. 100%. Well, Coach, we appreciate it, man, and we were definitely, without 100% going to have you back on. Good to meet you. This is going to be the start of a great relationship, we hope. Just so you know, the press box here at KBC, we support every program in the county, and we wish nothing but the best for the Ferris program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good evening, guys.
Thank you, sir. And there he goes, Coach Joshua McGee, Ferris Men's Basketball. And so very, very well articulated, spoken-out answers.
I was like,
man, we could
feel good about it.
We could go for another 45 minutes. We need to have him back on.
I know. We're just French fry talk.
His answers on the French fries, Burger King, that I would have never said Burger King.
No.
So that, not that they're bad. It's just
right.
It's not on my top list. Now, the Red Robin fries.
Oh, that had
me. Does the bottomless add another level?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, without a doubt.
Heck yeah.
Boneless, I mean, just all-you-can-eat french fries?
I mean, I know we can't...
I could probably, even if it's a bad french fry, I could probably move it up on the list.
I know we counted Chick-fil-A fries, so we have to count them, but do curly fries count just because they got fries in the name? Or
heck yeah.
Or is that like a tater tot? Because I wouldn't count tater tots in the fry conversation.
Well, no.
You got to draw the line somewhere. I mean, we have to set some parameters, and you're just going crazy. It's not National Tater Tot Day, all right? Just relax over there.
Although tater tot casserole, if it were a tater tot day, now there's some money right there. Well,
we'll give tater tots their due at some point.
Well, the phone lines are open, guys, and we want to hear from you. French fries, Rangers, baseball, basketball starting up, whatever you want to talk about.
Call and say hi.
The floor is yours. What's that number, Yo-Yo? Who do they need to call?
972-923-1390 or 972-938-1390, either one of those two numbers. And then when you hear the recorded voice, make sure you press that number one on your phone. That gets you right to me. And we'll see what about putting you on the air with us here.
That'll awesome. Work. And we want to thank everybody for tuning in.
Yeah.
If you missed the first part of the show, we had Kieran Middleton Sr. at Midlothian Ladies Basketball going to Tulane. We had our home run derby winner, Gabe Vasquez from Midlothian Heritage. We had Ferris coach Joshua McGee men's basketball. If you missed it, guess what? We got a podcast.
Sure do.
It comes out on KBC Sports or sports.kbc.com. They got the podcast tab. We also put it on Twitter. You know our Twitter? You know, it's at KBC Sports.
It is. And if you want to catch up, if you missed the Home Run Derby and you're just kind of, you know, again, hungry for sports, that was going to be a podcast as well. So that's up.
You can hear Brian say, back, 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 back.
That's right.
Back. And then, oh, that's off the fence.
It's off the fence. Oh, it landed at second base.
So, but no, we appreciate everybody listening. And we've got about 10 minutes left in the show. So call in. You got plenty of time.
Hold on, guys. What was that?
Whoa, Yo-Yo.
Sure.
He's trying to. We're getting
it.
Is
this like the award show, or like when you're like, people it's, off the stage?
It's sports music? And music.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had the hook in my hand. I just.
Well, let's talk a little Rangers. Let's do this. Let's dig deep and talk about baseball in general. So we have a 60-game season approaching. What, 2.5 weeks ago? Away?
Ago, yeah, away.
2.5 weeks away, yeah. So 60 games. So lots of stuff we can dig into here. The first thing is one of our questions of the day is, will the Rangers, how they're set up, they're a little bit top heavy, I think they have three number two or number three guys, if you'd probably maybe agree with that. Does that help with the shortened season?
Well, I would say they've got three, at least number two guys.
Yeah.
I think, it depends on health. And I think that's a big question.
Right.
So I'm a big believer that pitching rules the day in baseball early. No matter what level you go and look at, high school, college, pros, you're always going to have guys that start out hot. You're always going to have guys that start out hot. But for the majority, everybody's trying to get in the groove, pitchers included. But I believe pitchers hold the edge. Now, this is my opinion. And I'm sorry, I don't have stats backing that up. But if you watch the game, I believe pitchers have the early edge. And that being said, you've got two guys, Mike Minor and Lance Lynn, that have both been here. Minor for 2 years, Lynn for one. Last year, Mike Minor had a 3.59 ERA.
Outstanding.
With 200 Ks and 208.1 inning pitch. So not bad. Yep. And he was the ace the year before, kind of a breakout season, which kind of led for this case if he was our ace on the staff last year.
Yep.
And then we added Lance Lynn. And Lance has been a guy that has been up and he's kind of been down throughout his career. But for the most part, he's consistent on his innings pitched. He doesn't get hurt and he throws the ball.
Workhorse.
Well, last year, he gave Mike Minor a run for his money. And this is why he's got the ball on opening day, is he's a workhorse. He had a 3.67 ERA with 246 Ks and 208.1 inning pitched. They both have the same amount of inning pitched.
Right.
You add Corey Kluber on top of that.
Former number one. Former ace.
Former ace.
Cy Young, right?
Former two-time Cy Young winner. So the last time he pitched, now in 2019, he only pitched seven games. Started seven games and then was hurt. In 2018... he had a 2.89 ERA in 33 starts, 215 innings pitched, 222 strikeouts. The year before that, in his Cy Young season in 2017, 2.25 ERA. So, and then the year before that, it was 3.14. But basically, I mean, you're looking at a guy with a career ERA of 3.16. I mean, come on, man.
If here's the question. So all three people we kind of describe as workhorses. Mm-hmm. So they go deeper. And again, modern day baseball is different than old. So when we say deep, they're going seven innings. That's deep. For this current baseball. So will teams like the Rangers or teams in general, they go to more like a three or four man, or not three, but probably a four man rotation? It's going to have five man rotations. What do you think?
No, I think because they added Jordan Lyles.
Yeah.
They also got their young guys like Kobe Allard. And they've had some guys in the rotation. I think they're going to stick to a five-man rotation. Now, some teams have been going to six in recent years.
That's because of the longer season. Yeah, though. So in a shortened season, do you think anybody would go to maybe a four-man if they have a strong? And again, every game counts. And so normally you have 162 games.
So
every game is going to count even more.
They may shorten down when you get to crunch time.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the year.
But it's already almost crunch
time.
Well,
I know, but like you're saying, you're also coming in. They're doing their spring trainings, their simulated games or whatever, but they're doing them at their home ballpark.
Right.
And so it'd be like spring training. They come out of the gate. Most teams don't push their guys hard out of the gate. So you're going to – I would think that you need that fifth guy. Just give that guy his normal rest. But once you get going down to it, they're 60 games. That should be about the time that the pitchers are thinking, I'm in a groove. It's not late in the season.
Yep.
My arm's not tired. I am feeling great. So then you could shrink it down to maybe a four-game rotation. But I just want to make this point.
Let's hear it.
The Rangers ended after 60 games last year, the first 60. I take the first 60 as the example only because they were coming out of spring training, same way they'll be coming out of quote-unquote spring training
right. This
year. The Rangers would have made the playoffs. They would have been a wild card team playing the Rays.
Yep.
And so to answer your question, does the rotation help or hurt? I think our rotation this year helps the Rangers. Asterisk mark, does Corey Kluber come back healthy? He doesn't have to come back all the way to form, but if he comes back healthy with the three big guys they got, I think our pitching staff in a shortened season helps.
Well, just like financial instruments, past performance does not guarantee future success. So I wonder if some of these guys that are coming back from injuries are going to be able to toss that baseball the way that they did in the past. And as far as home runs, they usually start off pretty quickly in the early part of the year in spring. And with the heat, the ball flies a little bit further. So do you think that 30, maybe 35 home runs will be the leading of the MLB?
I'm glad you brought that up, Yo-Yo, because that was our part C question of the day. So the question was, how many home runs do you think will lead Major League Baseball? And so you asked 30. I'm going to say no. I don't know if Brian's got a different opinion. Gabe Vasquez said 30.
Yeah,
I think that's bold. I think that's bold. Yeah. I remember, 2010, I believe, when Nelson Cruz with the Rangers came out hot.
There we go with Nelson Cruz again.
That's
crushed.
The first 30 games, and he had like 17 home runs through 35 games. And he ended
off his head.
He ended up getting hurt, yeah. So I really don't think 30 is going to be touched. I don't think 20 is going to be touched. If we're putting an over and under at 19.5, I'm taking the under. I don't know about you guys.
Well, I'm thinking, let me jump in here real quick. I'm thinking that it's going to be more important to hit for average than it is to be hitting for dingers. And so players like Joey Gallo may find themselves sitting on the bench while people like Andrews and other guys who try to hit for at least a base hit rather than everything's a dinger.
Well, I can tell you Joey Gallo will not be sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that. No, they value the home run too much, even in a shortened season.
Yeah, for sure.
They're going to look for guys that'll drive the ball, try to get whatever runs they can.
Yeah, I want to win, though.
Yeah. Well, here is an interesting thought, too. And I hadn't thought about it until today. We were prepping for the show. But so I thought at first that there was a minimum at bats to qualify for
like awards or
records or awards,
yeah,
anything.
Yeah.
So it's actually not, it's calculated off the scheduled game. So it's 3.1 at bats per scheduled team games. So in the past, if you had a rookie come up and he hit 400 in September, well, he wasn't eligible to win in batting crown, right? Because he had only, played for a month. But now, as long as you have 3.1 at bats per scheduled team game, which is 60, if someone gets on a tear and they hit 420 whatever it is, over 400, they could actually take the major league record in 60 games. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, there'll be a big asterisk by that.
No, they're not going to do it. Although I think it's very reasonable that somebody hits 400. But we are up against the clock. And so we want to thank y'all for tuning in. As always, we appreciate it. Before I'm going to give us our tease for next week's show, we'll be doing our volleyball season preview. We're going to keep rolling as if COVID's not there. Until they tell us no sports, we're rolling. Volleyball, the next 2 weeks, we're going to cover this Ellis County. We're going to get three or four teams on at a time. So tune in next week. We will have volleyball. Brian is going to send us home.
As always, guys, have a great week. Stay cool. Make someone's day. Make this world a better place. See you next Monday night.
Say bye, Yo-Yo.
Bye, Yo-Yo.
You've been listening to The Press Box on 1390 AM, 99.1 FM, and KBEC.com. The Press Box is brought to you by Dr. Mark Rue and Dr. Josh McSpadden with Waxahachie Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the Stevens team at Legacy Realty, and FBM Construction. Tune in Monday nights at 6 p.m. for the Press Box on KBEC. And for more, go to sports.kbec.com.